just want to thank you that we gathered here this morning on this Father's Day. Father, to celebrate not just our dads, but Father, our relationship with you. Father, help us this day, this time, this service right now, Lord, to put away our worries and our cares. And help us, Father, to come and sit at your feet and learn from you. Father, I pray that you help me to share your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Please be seated. It would be really awkward if you continue to stand through the whole service. Did I get somebody to turn that light switch off that kills that fan? It's the one there. When that fan picks up on high, it's kind of cold. I've got my phone out. I'm not calling somebody. But I received this text message last week, and I wanted to share it with you guys. This was, how do I want to say this? A friend sent me this, because a friend had sent it to them. Said this: just one of the clients, just had one of the clients here at the office tell his probation officer that one day he was driving by Irondale Church, and the message said, "Show me who your friends are, and I will show you your future." And he changed his number that day. Said, "Tell the pastor, good job. Those messages get heard. And I want to tell you, good job. Because it's really not me. I get a lot of credit for things y'all do. And I just want to say that how proud I am to be, that you would allow me to be your pastor, to be a part of such a wonderful congregation of people, people who make a difference, not only here in our church, but in the community at large. That doesn't happen in every church. Matter of fact, it happens only in a few churches. But I just want to make sure that you guys know that the wonderful things, the wonderful impact that this church has, even on somebody just driving down the road. Ow. This last week, some of you know, and this is totally beside any point, but I've been coaching the girls' softball team, or helping to coach the girls' softball team over here. And we finished the season 13-2. Okay? So, we're in first place. We beat everybody, because we played teams multiple times, so we beat every team. Many of the girls, you know, I mean, they just, some of the teams we, I hate to say slaughtered, but we slaughtered many of the teams. And, you know, as we're getting ready now to go to the All-Stars, and so that's going to obscure some of my time at the end of June, and if they win there, some of my time in the beginning of July. But those are the types of things that we do in this community that make a difference, that are far beyond just our church. When you sit at the food bank and you hand out cans or whatever you do there, when you sit down at your computer and you type your blog, whatever you do there, when you do those things, it's not just you, it's not just me, it's us. So if you're not engaging in something, please, please, please become a part of the us. Because that's what makes all of us great. Kids, if you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to children's church, You may do so at this time. If you're staying around here with me, we're going to start in Psalm 103. We're going to go to a few different passages. You have your bulletin insert. All but one of the passages is in there, so you can follow along. But I want to begin by reading to you Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. It says there, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our fame. He remembers that we are dust." Let me just point out, wherever the Bible says that, you know, talks about fearing God, it's not talking about being afraid of God, but it's about respecting God.
Amen.
Though the word respect isn't strong enough, so they still use the word fear. So, some men in a pickup truck drove into a lumber yard. One of the men walked into the office and said, "We need some 4x2s. The clerk said, "You mean 2x4s, don't you?" The man said, "Just a minute, I'll go check." And he went back out to the pickup truck. In a minute he returned and said, "Yeah, I mean 2x4s. Clerk said, "All right, how long?" Customer looked at him blankly, said, "Let me go check." After a moment, the customer returned and said, "We'd like to have them for a long time. We're going to build a house." You know, we are all a work in progress.
Amen.
David talked about remembering the day that his baby was born, and he held that baby in his arms. And I remember when our first one was born, and I held her in my arms. And I know you guys that have children, you remember that too. And it is a great and amazing thing that all of a sudden, you are the father. And you are supposed to know something.
Right.
Just like that. And somehow, in all the magic of life, your wife has just completely changed, having given birth. She's a completely different human being. She's just madly in love with this little wrinkled thing that you've never seen before. And she is just overwhelmed by her job and responsibility, and the love is just gushing out of her. Meanwhile, as dad, I'm standing there looking at this kid thinking, because I don't have a clue what I'm going to do. Now, I'm probably the only dad that ever felt that way. But somehow I doubt it. The reality is, we really aren't any good at anything until we've experienced it, studied it, and made a plan for it. When you have a child, you have to get on a pretty fast learning curve, because all of a sudden, you have just graduated from whatever a non-father is to whatever a father is, and you've crossed the line, and you haven't changed a bit, but by golly, you're going to have to rise up and meet that task. You're going to have to be that man. And so this past week, as Father's Day was approaching, I kind of started to wonder, what would it be like if I could build a father? What would I put in him? Now, of course, it's God that builds fathers, so don't take that too intensely. But if I could build a father, the first thing that I would do is I would give him a heart of courage. What is courage, and what is courage today? you know, courage is really the same thing that it's always been. Standing for what is right, even in the face of adversity, willing to admit fault when wrong, and pressing onward, especially during difficulties. Can a man be courageous even if he's afraid? I would venture to offer that the only time a man can be courageous is when he's afraid. William Shedd wrote, "A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are built for." And you know, men are safe at home on the couch with the remote in their hand, watching the TV or rolling through the channels. But that is not what we were built for. Fathers are not built to play it safe. Fathers, men, and I dare say women too, so don't think this is just about the fathers, and if you're not a father, you can go to sleep. Because I believe that every word of this message applies to every single person. Fathers aren't built to play it safe. They need to be concerned with safety. But if a father plays it too safe, he'll lose his edge. I once read a story that said, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And there's a lot of truth to that. That each of us is just allotted a little bit of space through life. And if we spend it back in this, just in the safety of like, oh, I'm going to be okay, everything's going to be fine, just hover around me here in this safe place, we'll lose something. I remember my 6th birthday, the neighbor boy, my oldest brother's friend, bought me a pocket knife for my birthday. You can imagine at 6 years old how excited I was to get a pocket knife. I was now a man. Because I had a pocket knife. I can still remember my dad. I can still remember my mom being upset, my dad saying it'll be fine. I didn't really understand, but I knew that fine meant I got to keep the knife. My first one, it had white handles on the side. I had it for a week or two before I lost it. My dad took it, and he took a hammer, and he opened the blades, and he put it on top of a fence post, and he pecked on the edge of the blade till it was as dull on the front as it was on the back. As long as I didn't go like that, I was going to be safe with it. I had a knife. I felt like somebody. I was living on the edge. You know, a father has to have enough courage to have confidence in himself. Because there's so many things in life that we as fathers have not experienced. So many things that we do that are wrong that we have to fix. And so many things that are done to us that we have to fix for the sake of our family. And a father has to have enough courage to have confidence in himself, even when there may not be no reason to have confidence in ourselves. A father must have enough confidence to speak his beliefs in such a manner that his children never doubt what he believes or what drives him. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2 says, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out." And Matthew chapter 5, verse 36 and 37 say this, "And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from He. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That is the type of attitude that a father needs to have, the measure of courage that he needs to have, that no matter what's happening around him, he can hold steady on the course. There's a scene from the 2005 movie, The Kingdom of God, where Godfrey knights Balinett. He knights him by charging him with this oath. Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Be brave and upright that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless and do no wrong. That is your oath. And then Godfrey hauls off and cuffs Balinett with the back of his hand, saying, and that's so you remember it. I've often thought many times that this would make a great wedding ceremony. You bring the bride and groom up here, and you turn to the bride, and you say, do you solemnly swear that you will love, honor, and cherish this man until death do you part? And when she says, I do, then you turn to the man, the groom, and you say to him, be without fear in the face of your enemies.
Oh.
Be brave and upright that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless. Do no wrong. That is your oath. And then slap him. And tell him, that's so you'll remember it. If I could build a father, I would give him a heart of courage.
Yes.
The next thing that I would put in a father is I would give him a kind soul. Zechariah 7, 9 through 12 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow and the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Many fathers have treated their children poorly, but not all fathers. I would venture to say that most fathers, I would like to think that 9 out of 10 fathers have laid their lives down for their families. They have yielded untold hours to see their families prosper and that their families would feel loved. They labor at jobs they don't like, invest in careers that are not rewarding to them. They attend hours of sporting events that they care little about. They go to teachers' conferences, social gatherings that are built for children and then built for teens. I'm sorry, but I just have this picture of me years gone by sitting in my home with Michael Jackson playing in the background. One, because I have kids. Dads spend buckets of money on their children. Dads learn to forgive and to forget, and they do an awful lot of what they do without so much as a thank you. But you know what? That's just what dads do. So if I were to build a father, I would give the father a very kind sword. Harmon Killebrew was a professional baseball player, and he said, "When I was a boy, my father used to play with my brother and me in the yard. Mom would come out and say, 'You're tearing up the grass.' Dad would reply, 'We're not raising grass, we're raising boys.'"
I like it.
James Dobson said that we can get so busy giving our children all the things that we didn't have that we can forget to give them the things that we did have. There's also a story of a Spanish father who had a falling out with his son, and his son ran away from home. And the father set off to find him, and he searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find his son, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. That ad read, Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Signed, your father." On Saturday at noon, 800 Pacos showed up looking for the forgiveness and love their father. If I were building a father, I would give him a kind soul. Number three, if I could build a father, I would give him a strong mind. 2 Timothy 1-7 says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." With a strong mind, a father would be a good example for his family. With a strong mind, a father turns off inappropriate television. A father tells people who may hurt his family to get lost, not hang out around them. A father is also very clear on the gospel message of God's love for mankind through Jesus Christ. A person with a strong mind, a father with a strong mind, will control their temper, control their addictions, control their spending habits. They'll control their worry. In short, a person with a strong mind will control their problems. Their problems won't control them. But let's face it, it's easier to talk about having a strong mind than to actually operate with a sound mind. So how do we move to the place of living with the strong mind that God has given us? Number one, be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let me pause there just for a moment to say this. If you don't know where you're going, where are you going? So if you don't know that in the end you're going to receive eternal life, you're just going to go through life wondering what's around the next corner. You're going to be afraid, what's going to happen if I die? What will happen to my children if I die? I better get a life insurance policy so that my children will be taken care of. I got to make sure all this stuff is in place so that my children will be taken care of. I got to make all kinds of money and put it aside so my children will be taken care of. I got to tell you this. How much happier would your kids be if you stayed home from work, spent some time with them, and trusted God to take care of them? You say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I have life insurance, and it's a good idea. And I'm trying to save up money. I don't want to be a burden on my kids." You're missing the whole point. The whole point isn't about having life insurance or not. The whole point is about whether you're investing yourself in your children and the children in your life or not.
Amen.
Because if you're not investing in them, who is investing in them? Because if you don't have a goal to invest in them and to see them grow and become someone, what are you doing with them? Just let them be aimless? Won't you tell the children in your life what your expectations are of them? I took that baseball team at practice the other day. We were doing a hitting drill, and some of the girls were really struggling with their hitting. And I went up in front of them and I said, "Girls, we've been playing all season. We've been practicing. You're 13-2. You are the champions of the league. Take the bat, relax, be yourself. Go up there and hit the ball." And girl after girl walked up there and sought that ball. It's about giving them the picture of the goal, not of changing themselves to be somebody else, but to see themselves for who they already are. And see themselves putting aside the things of this world. Seeing themselves changing their phone number to get rid of a bunch of friends that are ruining their lives. See them make a difference. Number one, be born again. Number two, come to terms with seeing the glass dimly. That'd be the looking glass, by the way. 1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known," even as I have been fully known. I hate to be the one to tell you, but rest assured, I've already told myself, you're not as smart as you think you are. We don't have things figured out as well as we think we do. God has things figured out. But right now, when we're looking in the mirror, it's all foggy. You know, it's like when you get out of the shower and you look in the mirror and there is no mirror because it's steamed over. That's what looking at ourselves is like. Oh, I can see a little of me right along the edge. A little bit at the bottom. And it's kind of maybe starting to open up a little. Maybe I can see a little better. But it's never going to be clear as long as we're in this life. We're just not as smart as we think we are. Amen. God is the one who has things figured out. And so we need to just come to terms with the fact that we see through in the mirror dimly. If you really want to have a strong mind in the Lord, if you really want to have that that spirit that's not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, you need to understand that you don't have any power. You're not very good at loving, and you've got little self-control on your own. But turned over to the hand of God, your power is unlimited. Amen. Your love knows no bounds, and your self-control is amazing. Point number three. Did I hit all again? Number one, be born again. Number two, come to terms with seeing in the mirror dimly. Number three, be transformed by renewing your mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Today is Father's Day. So I've got good news. I want everybody to forget about your diets, whatever they are. You should eat everything that you can. Today is the day, you cakes and cookies, all that stuff. You should get, be just become just as fat as you can become. That's fat as in faithful, available, and teachable. See, we need to be eating so much of the Bible that it just sticks on us like a donut sticks on our hips. If we will eat the Word of God, it will attach itself to our minds. And our minds will increase in the knowledge of God. And as we pursue Him and as we eat of His Word, we're going to find ourselves hungry for more. But as a good high dessert diet makes our body kind of sluggish, if we only read the Bible without applying its precepts to our personal daily lives, we will become personally sluggish. Spiritually sluggish. Spiritually sluggish people are people who are full of words and advice for others while their own lives are a spiritual joke. We need to be faithful, we need to be available, and we need to be teachable. That is, we need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful to our spouses. We need to be faithful to our children. We need to be faithful to ourselves. We need to be faithful to our community. We need to just be faithful. We need to be available. We can't have all of our time so incredibly structured that there's no flexibility in it. We need to be able to, that if a need arises, that we can shift and fit ourselves into that availability. We need to be teachable because none of us has all the answers. No matter how old you are, or how much you understand the Bible, or how many times you read it, or how much inspiration God has given you, or the measure of faith that God has given you, learning is ongoing. I was kind of cracked up this time of year. It's springtime and people are graduating. They're graduating high school, they're graduating college, and they're like, woo, graduated. When the reality is, school isn't finished. It's just being ran into session. Because what you learned in school is nothing compared to what you're going to learn after school. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. If I could build a father, I would give him a strong mind. So here's a good plan for every person who wants to develop a strong mind. It's all about your time management. So I want to challenge you that for every minute that you spend in recreation, spend a minute reading and studying your Bible. Now, what is recreation? Recreation is your Facebook time. Recreation is your video games. Recreation is web surfing. Recreation is reading news blogs. Beyond the headline, you're not going to learn anything in the article. It's just, you're just reading it for recreation. How about watching YouTube? Watching any tube, for that matter. How about fishing and hunting and all the things that we think of as normal recreation? You know, if you would take and spend as much time studying the Word of God and growing in Him as you spend trying to recreate yourself, you probably would find you wouldn't need near as much recreation. So, here's an idea. I took a typical week and I looked at how many hours are in a week, 168 hours in a week. Subtract from that the hours that you spend at work if you have a job. And I said, say that's 55 hours a week because you have to drive to work and drive home. You have to have lunch while you're there. So you can't really say it's just 40 hours a week. So I'm going to say 55 hours a week. And then you got to add into that some sleep time. So I'm going to say that's 63 hours a week. And you think, man, there's no way I sleep 9 hours a week. Well, I want to challenge you that it's not just all about sleeping. You also have to get ready for bed. You got to take a shower. You got to scrub your face. You know, I don't know about you. It takes me like an hour to get in bed. Then that all I do is walk from the couch to my bed. But it's like there's so many things to do before I go to sleep. So I kind of count that time. So I think on the graph, I think I put 62, but that was a typo. It should be 63 hours. Now there's 15 hours for Sabbath rest, because you should be taking a Sabbath rest. You think 15, there's 24 hours in a day. I know, you spent 9 of them sleeping or getting ready to sleep. So we're good there. Now, then there's also 18 hours that are spent in equal parts. Because, you know, 18, how did I come up with 18? I don't remember. It was like 9 and 9. Maybe it's 9 days in a week. But anyway, 18 hours, equal parts, recreation, and Bible. And that gave us 18 hours left. So I figure if you take that 18 hours that's left, and you divide that by 2, that gives you 9 hours to spend as a volunteer for God's work. And 9 hours left over to just be available doing whatever. Now, that's spending 9 hours a week in personal Bible study. Now, I know some of you do that. But why aren't the rest of you doing that? Want to have a strong mind, it's not going to fall from the sky like a rock and just give you a new mind. You're going to have to build your mind. And what you eat is what you'll have in your mind. Just think about that when you turn on your television. When you pick up a book, when you turn on the radio, when you're calling your friends, when you decide to go to the beach, whatever you do, ask yourself, are you also taking time to learn about God? Because if you want a strong mind, you're going to have to do that. Say, well, Pastor, I was looking for an easier way. Sorry, there isn't one. Edgar Casey used to sleep with a book under his pillow. Somehow he could learn the book overnight. But if that doesn't work for you, you're actually going to have to read the book. If I could build a father, I would give him a heart of courage, a kind soul, and a strong one. If a father had a heart of courage, a kind soul, and a strong mind, he would be so in touch with what it takes to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, that he would be unstoppable. See, when the world has a man in it who's in touch with God, the world has a good man. A man who works to make life better. Not just for his own family, but for his whole community and for his church. And it has man works to please God, it's going to change everything. It's going to change his entire legacy. And just the people who run into him here and there are going to be better people. Just because they encountered that man of God. We have in our, this is my third and last baseball illustration for the day. Softball illustration. We had a coach from the high school come to our last practice. And he was talking to the girls about how as coaches, we're preparing the kids for the next level. So at the level our girls are at, which is still considered little league, but from here they're going into high school. And so we're preparing them to play in high school. When they get to high school, he's going to be preparing them to play in college. When they get in college, he's going to be preparing them to play at they're going to be preparing them to play at a national level. So it's always about taking them up a notch. That's what coaches do. And as I listened to him, I certainly didn't interrupt. But I thought, I'm not trying to prepare these girls to play in high school. I'm trying to prepare these girls to be good citizens. I'm trying to prepare these girls to be strong people. Women who are confident in themselves and in their ability. Women who will have a heart of courage. Women who will have a kind soul. Women who will have a strong mind. And women who just might look at their crazy coach and think, he's got something that I need.
Yeah.
And when they ask, I can tell them, kiddo, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Because he is the missing link in so many of our lives. So you see, what a godly father wants to build is a legacy of character that will pass down from generation to generation in every generation that he comes in contact with. You say, Pastor, that's a tall order. I know. I can't do it alone. I need you. And I need God. And we can do it together. All of us. Now there's just one question that remains. Will you be the man that I've described? Will you be the woman that I have described? Will you be the one with the heart of courage, the kind soul, and the strong mind? Will it be you? Will it be you that when the kids are older and they look back and they look at their childhood, they're going to sit in church one day and the pastor's going to say, tell me about fatherhood. And the children are going to say, or the adults then are going to say, well, I remember my dad. What an amazing guy he was. And then there was this other guy too. And on Mother's Day, it's going to be, I remember my mom. You know, when we started out, she wasn't that good. But something changed in her life. And she began to do the hard work of making the shift to become the woman that God had always wanted her to be. And she had the courage to make it happen. And it changed our family. It changed our destiny. See, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman, whether it's a father, whether it's a mother, it is time for each and every one of us to step up and become the person that God has called us to be.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Worship team, you guys can keep coming. The schedule of things to make it into something that will shake you up. It's up to us within our hearts. Before God, shake ourselves up and decide to make the changes that God wants made in our lives. So I just want to challenge you today. Make the change. Whatever that is. Make it. So that it's you with a heart of courage. a strong soul, a strong mind. Father, we just want to thank you for your love for us. How you never give up on us, Lord, is an example that we should never give up on you. So, Father, today I want to say and I ask, Lord, if today could be the first day of the rest of our lives, help us, Father, to do a better job. So that this world can be a better place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask your blessings on this congregation, Lord. As we go out from here today, Lord, let us not feel defeated in any way, but let us feel, Lord, empowered by your Spirit, which dwells among us and within us. Father, there is nothing that can stop us when we are wholly devoted to you. Help us, Father, to walk step by step with you. Not running out ahead, not sitting on the couch. Help us, Father, to be moving with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.